Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Shot through the heart, and you're too late, darling. You give love a bad name.
Out there, you're going to see a whole wall of screens. And there's going to be different things. There's going to be flock camera systems up. There's going to be, we did take the schools down, but we have cameras at every school. We have resource connections with the school district, so we can watch every school in Escambia County. We can pull those up. If anything ever occurs, we can pull those up and instantaneously give the information to the deputies responding to those places. If there's a SRO there or if there's a guardian there, because every school in Escambia County has a guardian or a law enforcement officer there.
This is Chief Deputy Andrew Hobbs of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office giving me and a couple of other people, we are getting a tour of the Real-Time Crime Center last week, which has been operating for, I think, a year or two now, but it was a pretty amazing thing. What he was describing there is what you see when you go in the room is all of these computer stations and then this wall of monitors where literally it's on the left-hand side, you've got the Pensacola Beach cameras, the ones that are active, or a selection of them, and you can pick which ones you watch, of course. There's a whole piece there with the flock license plate readers, and, then the school cameras are in there, and then you've got, the cameras that are off of some of the digital billboards in the area are there, and you just see what's going on at all these various locations in Escambia County anytime, including, as he mentioned, in the school. And when he says, you can see into the school. You can see into the school.
We were doing a tour a couple weeks ago, and I said, well, pull up my kid's school. And lo and behold, my 9-year-old son is doing something stupid right there in the hallway. And I'm like, lovely. And I see him, and then that night I go home, and my son's an honor roll student of the month. He's very, very good. But he was being stupid with his stupid friends. And I said, hey, today, about 1:30, you're in the hallway being stupid. And he's looking at me, he's like, no way. I was like, bro, I'm always watching.
So, bro, I'm always watching.
That's awesome.
Oh,
I love
man.
That.
Yeah, so obviously when you have an incident, you have a fight, you have a crime, you have, God forbid, some kind of an attack against the school, you can see exactly what's going on inside the school. You don't have to depend on, word of mouth relaying to you the information. And because you can see this all again in real time, in live time, you can relay that information to the deputies that are responding or whatever they're going into, including, by the way, this means, cameras that are on businesses, if they want to participate, can be part of the live feed. Cameras, like I said, that are in the county. There's all kinds of other cameras that might be involved. Lieutenant Brandon Beach was the other person who's kind of explaining all of this to us.
We also partner with the County Parks and Recs Division. They're bringing on several cameras in the parks, libraries as well, that will be fed into here within the first quarter. We're working through the final steps of bringing those online.
So the little, surveillance vans that are not a secret, they say on them surveillance van or whatever, the trailers with the pop-up poles and the lights and the cameras on them that you see all over the place, anything that is connected to the system can be viewed in real time. Now, homes are not connected to the system. What happens with a home is if you are registered to participate, then if there is an incident in your vicinity, the sheriff's office will send out an email saying, hey, look on your Ring door camera between, 2 and 4 a.m. and see what you see. And if you want to be a part of that, by the way, it's connectescambia.org is the website, connectescambia.org. But and anywhere they add cameras, like in Montclair, or where there have been, like along Massachusetts, where there's been shooting as an incident. And so, we put up cameras so we can see what's going on and we can see it when it happens and we can respond to it. And we can certainly, check after the fact and go back and look.
We've also partnered with the county and some of the community redevelopment areas. So the area of Montclair, there's approximately 100 camera feeds that we have access to. Which have been very beneficial.
And again, the businesses and homes.
Obviously, you can integrate your cameras, which a lot of partners have. We have some local businesses that decided to integrate some of their cameras. I'm not going to name them here, just so they're confidential. But you can also register your cameras. You can go to connectascambia.org and you can register your cameras.
And again, that your home is not live on the system. It's just that you can send them video or pictures if you find stuff after they notify you, hey, would you take a look for us? It's just different to understand that, you know, a business, which can do that too, but a business can participate in the program of connecting their own cameras if they're valuable enough to what the sheriff's office is doing to have that real time. Like, you know, if they put a drone up in the sky to look for a criminal, that they can watch that in real time. If you call in on 911 and, you know, there's an issue, they can send you a text and then you can click the link and that'll make it so that they can see through your phone's camera what's happening in real time on the location up on the board in the real-time crime center and tell other people what's happening so they can dispatch appropriately to it. It's the stuff of movies. It's what you see in a movie. And if you ever watched, you know, movies lie about everything. How long does it take a computer to boot up in a movie?
Well, yeah.
Even if you've got a SSD drive, it still takes a few seconds in a movie. Bloop, bloop, there it is. You know, it's right up for you. No problem. Oh, it's no big deal. I just turned off the mainframe and turned it back on. Easy peasy, just like that, right? I mean, that's not real life. And so you see all these surveillance capabilities in movies. They're not real, or TV, you know, like in 24 or Enemy of the State or any of these kind of things. That's not real. But then you go to the real-time crime center, which is years after those movies or TV shows come out, and you're like, well, it is now, just about. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you're headed to Corey Station, there's a backup causing delays on New Warrington Road and wanted to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. One of the things they have is a kind of a big interactive touchscreen where they can see every asset in Escambia County, cop, position, radio from a cop, if it's got the GPS component in it that they're upgrading to. It's got a blue little light for your homes. They can't see into those, but they can, you know, email you. I think the blue was for the homes, if I remember correctly. You know, cameras that are on their assets, cameras that are on the county assets in the parks, on the schools, in the library, any of that kind of stuff. They can just zoom right in and look at it.
Also on this map, these stars on this location, that's kind of hard to see some of them, but these red stars up here are the deputy's vehicles. And the stars are color coordinated with our software. So if it's a red star, that means that deputy's on scene at a call. If they're yellow, they're en route to a call. And if they're green, they're available for a call.
So they can see everybody in real time. And you might have thought, well, I thought they already had. No, that's the point. And this is something that was born out of Chip going to New York, I think it was, where they invested, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars into their real-time crime center. And he basically said, yeah, we need to do this here. And that's because it works, because it solves crimes. It discourages crime. It, you know, it's the kind of thing that if the criminals know this is real and we're not being shy about telling them this is real, then, you know, we don't particularly want them to do their crimes in Alabama, but we want them to do them not here. And if it gets them to do them not here, then so much the better.
As we're upgrading our radio system, the handheld radios that the deputies have, they have GPS in them, so we can actually see where they're at on the map. They'll change a color whenever they're transmitting so you know who's talking. So this really, really nice when we compile these softwares together is if we're doing a canine track and we have a perimeter set up, we can actually measure across from here and tell them, hey, you're about 100 yards from deputy so-and-so.
So you put a drone up in the air, and there's a drone on every shift. The drone's up in the air. It's at night. It's using the forward-looking infrared to see heat. And it sees a dude over here trying to hide in a boat. I mean, think about, like, the search for the Boston Marathon bomber, right? Butthead number two. As a guy used to work with, used to always call him. He didn't like to say the names on the radio. He said, you know, imagine if you'd had a drone you could put up in the air and have infrared, and you have all these cops locking down all these neighborhoods, when instead what they could just have this drone looking overhead and be like, oh, well, that's a guy in a boat. Why don't you all go look in that boat over there and see what you see? Yeah, he's 100 feet away. He's 200 feet away. And they're telling him in real time because they can see where all the cops are, the cars, the people, the infrared. They can see it all. Again, like you're accustomed to thinking happens with the military. Only our sheriff's office has this capability. They don't have drones up all the time. They need a warrant to fly a drone and do surveillance. That's not something, or, you know, probable cause, you know, exigent circumstance or whatever. But just FYI. So that's not happening. Just like, you know, they don't have all your houses connected together. But what they do have is amazing. And I will say, I have long been the kind of person that was a little about too much surveillance state kind of stuff, you know. And I don't love the government being able to know everything about where everybody is. The license plate readers are a loss of privacy. The cameras are a loss of privacy. But at the same time, these are public areas. And the theory is basically, well, if we could afford a lot of cops, we could do more with a lot of cops. But we can't afford a lot of cops. What we can't afford is the technology that does the same thing as having a lot of cops. And then we put the AI observing the cameras, and the AI can work faster than the human and sort through 50 video feeds and find the perp that we're looking for, the 33-year-old with the purple hat in all these different feeds. You know, it's just, it's a capability that we could have 1,000 police officers do, or we can have our, you know, what's a sheriff's office has like 400, I think, if I remember correctly, 450, something like that. You know, and then this technology makes up the difference of not having an extra 500 law enforcement officers. And they stop crimes. They discourage crimes. They solve crimes after the fact. It seems like a trade-off that's sort of philosophical, vague, and distant versus a benefit that is immediate and tangible and substantial. And, you know, I do feel conflicted about it. I don't know if you do. Feel free to text me, 437-1620. But I know where these law enforcement officers' hearts are, and they just want to protect you. And this is a tool to help them protect you and to stop criminals, the bad guy, that you hired them to stop and protect you from. And this is an ability to do that more effectively, which is why they love it. 622 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you need to have work done on the plumbing, the air conditioning, the electrical, the heating in your house, whatever the case may be, you got a generator you want installed or worked on, Peden can take care of that. In 1969, Robert Peden started with air conditioning. Branched out, didn't take that long to figure out that, hey, summer air conditioning, winter heating, or anywhere in between. He also branched out, this is in Panama City, branched out geographically to Tallahassee and then to Pensacola and all points between, including now all the way into Alabama. So everywhere from the eastern time zone into across the state into Alabama, they do that. And again, it's all these other different services, which they do 100% satisfaction guarantee on. They have trained quality installers and products, and they stand by their work. And right now, you can beat the annual regulatory price bumps. You know, regulations change, the price of things goes up, and so you have to pay more. With Peden's New Year Old Stock Sale, take up to $1,500 off the remaining 2025 air conditioning systems before they're gone. You can call or book online at Peden, PEDEN.com.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip with the new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther. And combined with Subaru's legendary capability of standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected conditions and terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road, they're all fair game in the new 2026 Subaru Hybrid. Better fuel economy, legendary reliability, you'll find both in the Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid and Subaru Forester Hybrid. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This incident is going down on your permanent record. A record that's going to follow you throughout your entire life.
Yeah, that's a great example of a song that is, you know, the song itself is, you know, okay, you know, Macklemore, but right. That one part is so good.
Yeah, and I'm still worried about my permanent record there.
I know, it's got you really thinking of it, right? I guess her name? What was the principal's name? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Rock and Roll High School? It's the school leader's equivalent of Nurse Ratched, right? So, all right, David, John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
Oh, well, thank you. Let's see here. First, we've got some backups on Corey Station causing delays on New Warrington Road. No accidents to report to you. I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headline. Miss Togar. That was her, right, Miss Togar? Oh, whoa. Give me the shivers. All right, go ahead, David.
Well, former President Bill Clinton and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton have been ordered to appear before the a GOP-led committee on the Jeffrey Epstein investigation in December. They'd been ordered in December, but they asked, the date was pushed back, and now apparently they'll be appearing today. But a committee spokesperson says that neither has confirmed that they will appear today. The Supreme Court wading into some cases involving transgender athlete bans. Justices will be hearing two cases, one from Idaho, another from West Virginia, challenging whether states can ban transgender girls from participating in girls and women's sports. Those decisions could impact similar bans already enacted throughout the U.S. And Google parent company Alphabet, Andrew, is the latest company to be worth $4 trillion. The company reached the $4 trillion market evaluation yesterday when shares jumped up about 1%.
Wow. All right. Well, that's why they're building nuclear reactors. So I still can't get my brain. I mean, it's Facebook, not Alphabet, or Meta. But you got to figure Alphabet's coming too. You got to assume they're going to build nuclear reactors. Well, if Meta's got them, I mean, if Zuckerberg's got them, we got to have them. Of course.
Got to keep up.
Right. All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. Yeah. Getting a couple of texts in here on the whole issue of trading freedom for security or getting the benefit of these cameras versus having the government be able to find you wherever you are. Somebody says, trading freedom for security, where have I heard that from? Yeah, but the quote is not exactly that. It's what? Trading a essential freedom for a little security. It's not just trading freedom for security, but that's a fair note, you know, deserve neither. Somebody says, I don't feel like there is privacy in public. I love that this is available to the police to keep us safe. Now in our homes, that's different. I think we should be afforded privacy in our homes. And we are. You are. Somebody says, some of the biggest lies begin with for your own safety. This gives me 1984 vibes. I understand that too. I don't know. This is going to make me sound weird, but I mean, if this is the first time.
That's a good one.
In case up until this point you thought I was completely normal, and now all of a sudden we're going to rip the veil back. Okay. I've always in the back of my head, I don't know whether it's just all the movies I was raised on as a Gen X kid or whatever, but the ability for the criminal to flee from the government, I don't want that. But the ability for the independent resistance freedom fighter, you know, whistleblower, person who's oppressed by the government to flee, whether it's like Mel Gibson in Conspiracy Theory or, you know, John Connor running from the T-1000 that's taken over the police surveillance system. You know, just all these stories, all these plot lines. You know, I've always thought I want to be able to run away if I have to run away. You know, I want to be able to evade them if I need to go, if I'm the one being persecuted. You know, I don't want to have a car where they can disable my engine. I want to have a car that I can drive. That, like, that kind of thing, which is sort of parallel with the way Second Amendment people think about having a gun. You know, you know the likelihood of ever actually needing to use it for its intended purpose of preventing tyranny, you know, fighting a tyrannical government, is very low. But it has happened in some places. Some very, very notable historical examples. And there's something similar about all of this, where you sound like a nut if you say, well, we need to be able to have our freedom of movement in case the government becomes tyrannical. We need to have our guns for that. We need to have our non-license plate readers for that. Okay, that versus school shootings and, you know, kidnappings.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. This morning, the Supreme Court is going to take up two high-stakes cases on state laws that ban transgender athletes from participating in women's sports. Fox's Alexandria Hoff.
In West Virginia, the case surrounds Title IX. Idaho, the focus is more on equal protection. At the core, both arguments here from both sides are saying that this is not fair for female athletes. It's not fair to have to compete alongside individuals who have a biological advantage. And for the plaintiffs here, they're going to be arguing that there's no fairness for them.
A ruling is expected in June. State and city officials in Minnesota and Illinois filing federal lawsuits against the Trump administration to stop the ongoing immigration enforcement operation.
Minnesota's lawsuit argues in part that immigration agents are invading Minneapolis and overwhelming the much smaller police force.
That's Fox's Matt Finn. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, it's a cold start to our day. We've got 31 degrees, clear skies right now in Pensacola. Of course, we'll get a full look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. That'll be with Brooke Richardson and Channel 3. Governor Ron DeSantis is scheduled to deliver his final State of the State address this morning. That's ahead of the start of this year's legislative session, and it'll be held at the Florida State Capitol at 10:15 Central Time this morning. Speaking of Governor DeSantis, he made a big announcement yesterday highlighting what he's calling real insurance relief for Florida's homeowners and drivers. From Davie, the governor announced that home and auto insurance rates are coming down all across the state.
The statewide average will be 8.7% reduction. Of those, over 150,000 will see their rights drop by more than 10%.
And the governor said citizens' property insurance is lowering premiums statewide by an average of 5.6%, with even bigger drops in South Florida. He credits five insurance laws passed since 2019, including tort reform and consumer protection measures, for stabilizing the market after years of rising costs. Well, Jerry Deming's fundraising efforts in the governor's race need to show significant improvement. That's according to University of South Florida political analyst Susan McManus yesterday. The Orange County mayor there running for the Democratic nomination. Records show he raised over $300,000, while former Congressman David Jolly says he raised $3 million. McManus told the Orlando Sentinel that Deming's has about a month to make a big splash. Well, Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins has jumped into Florida's Republican race for governor. The combat wounded Green Beret made his long expected announcement yesterday, pitching himself as a problem solver with real world experience. Collins says he respects Trump endorsed front runner Byron Donalds, but still managed to land a little bit of a jab during his announcements.
I have deployed, fought, been shot, bled, and buried my friends in defense of our Constitution, our way of life. I am pretty sure that he has not done that.
Donald's campaign did fire back, labeling Collins and other candidates as anti-Trump rhinos. Collins, despite those fireworks, insists he is focused on issues and not personal attacks. Now, the Okaloosa County School Board voted to close Longwood and Mary Esther Elementary Schools yesterday. The board approved that plan unanimously on Monday night. Officials say enrollment in the South Okaloosa Elementary Schools was down about 19% over the past decade. 6:34. Let's get a quick check on our forecast.
We are going to be looking at temperatures starting off very cold this morning, but getting around 59 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 44. As you head into Wednesday, some cloudy skies with a high near 62 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 38 degrees. As you head into Thursday, going to be staying chilly and breezy through the day. Sunny skies, high near 49. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke, and it is a cold start to our morning. 32 right now, clear skies in Pensacola, and 28 reported in Milton this morning. Let's go ahead and check in with John Pickens, get a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right, still rolling accident-free right now, but if you're on Highway 29 headed southbound toward 9 Mile Road, you will see just some minor delays. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. 6:35. It is, again, 32 in Pensacola, 28 in Milton, 35 in Gulf Breeze. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are sharply higher by more than 1% as investors assess impact of events in Iran and Venezuela. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $60.56 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $64.93 per barrel. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield ticked higher this morning as investors await key inflation data that will offer crucial insights on the health of the U.S. economy. The 10-year Treasury yield edged higher by less than one basis point to 4.197%. The 30-year bond yield also rose less than a basis point to 4.85%. Delta Airlines has forecast adjusted 2026 earnings of between $6.50 and $7.50 per share. The carrier expects first quarter revenue to rise between 5 and 7% over the last year, which is in line with analyst estimates. Delta is the first of the U.S. airlines to report quarterly results. Futures are slightly lower. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 86. That's your money now.
Thank you very much. 6:36, your next news at 7. News Radio 92.3.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9:30 when guests from Pensacola State College will be discussing everything from registration to graduation and so much more. And did you know that 92% of PSC students graduate loan-free? Learn more tomorrow at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with guests from Pensacola State College.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Ha 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 ha.
rocks.
I stand alongside over 1 million New Yorkers who voted for this day nearly 2 months ago. And I stand just as resolutely alongside those who did not. I know there are some who view this administration with distrust or disdain, or who see politics as permanently broken. And while only action can change minds, I promise you this. If you are a New Yorker, I am your mayor.
This is the voice of the new socialism. And if you have not actually taken time to watch anything that Zoran Mamdani has said or done, this is why I'm doing this, because it's important to understand what's happening in New York. It's important to understand that socialists around the country are emboldened by this. They think their day is coming soon. Even in Pensacola, you see all of these socialists showing up at the city council and the county commission meetings and, you know, organizing these protests at the graffiti bridge or whatever. And it's always the same five or six people. Why? Because, I mean, they see success. They see a civilization that the kids don't know any better. And, you know, they don't know any better. And they all think this is a great thing. And nobody's bothered to teach them who Alexander Solzhenitsyn was. You know, nobody's bothered to explain what communism has done over there. Well, this is different. No, it's never different. It's always like that. Anyway, and they think Bernie is a hero.
You have paved the way for this moment. Thank you to the man whose leadership I seek most to emulate, who I am so grateful to be sworn in by today, Senator Bernie Sanders.
Wow. And okay, just for like sober up comparison's sake, let me take you back. Do you remember when President Trump ran the first time? Who did he beat in 2016? Who did he beat? Hillary Clinton. Who did Hillary Clinton get nominated instead of? Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders, if the Democrats didn't have a fundamentally unfair system of selecting their nominee, Bernie Sanders would have been the nominee. Remember how they have all these super delegates and all these committed delegates, and Hillary stole the election from Bernie, right? The party stole it from the people. The people wanted Bernie. The people wanted Zoran Mamdani in 2016. They got him in a slightly older, weirder talking guy with funky mittens. But that's what they wanted. They want, and listen, I don't know what would have happened. We can't run elections over again, but Bernie Sanders would have had a good chance of beating Donald Trump. We could have had President Zoran Mamdani in 2016. And the tide has not moved an awful lot to the favor of those of us who are not on that team. So pay attention, because there's an awful lot of this out there.
In writing this address, I have been told that this is the occasion to reset expectations, that I should use this opportunity to encourage the people of New York to ask for little and expect even less. I will do no such thing.
Also, a very gifted speaker.
The only expectation I seek to reset is that of small expectations. Beginning today, we will govern expansively and audaciously. We may not always succeed, but never will we be accused of lacking the courage to try.
You know, the idea of government is the last resort, government is the last place you go for solutions when the private sector and you can't resolve it amicably, you go to court kind of thing. That is not their view. They think government is the answer to all of it. Do more, raise taxes, fund it anyway, do more government. That is the best way to solve everything. Utopia is through the doorway of bigger government.
To those who insist that the era of big government is over, hear me when I say this. No longer will City Hall hesitate to use its power to improve New Yorkers' lives.
I mean, I get a shudder when I hear something like that. No longer will City Hall refrain from using its power to help people's lives.
For too long, we have turned to the private sector for greatness while accepting mediocrity from those who serve the public. I cannot blame anyone who has come to question the role of government, whose faith in democracy has been eroded by decades of apathy. We will restore that trust by walking a different path, one where government is no longer solely the final recourse for those struggling, one where excellence is no longer the exception. We expect greatness from the cooks wielding 1,000 spices, from those who stride out onto our Broadway stages, and from our starting point guard at Madison Square Garden. Let us demand the same from those who work in government.
And by the way, there is a very appealing, I mean, you notice kind of the populism, you notice the socialism, you notice that he's not the angry socialist of yore, you know, because typically the real rebels, the real, you know, anti-authoritarians, although they are authoritarians, claiming to be anti-authoritarians, the folks who want to strike a blow for the common man against the, you know, the wealthy, the industrialists, the capitalist, the pig who's leading everything, you know, and then they turn around taking control of everything and making a life worse. See Cuba, if you want a good example of this. He's not that. At least doesn't sound like that. It doesn't have the kind of bitter edge that in some times in the past has made the activist, the radical, seem like an activist or a radical. He doesn't sound like a radical, even though he's saying radical things. He sounds like Obama. I mean, this is his, you know, red states, blue states. This is his big speech catapulting him to the national stage after he's already been elected to the state, you know, to the head of the city. And we'll come back to this in a second, because I do think you should be aware, you should pay attention, and don't just take for granted that the values of individual liberty and private ownership of property and the free market and capitalism and a republic and having not centralized control of the economy, those things don't persist because, well, they just persist because they're the right things. Every generation has to fight for those things. Every generation has to teach its kids, no, son, there's a reason we don't do it that way. And we have clearly failed that obligation. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Just one accident on the big board right now, Beulah Road and 9 Mile Road. No roadblock associated with that one. But we're starting to see just minor delays. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives on the big board.
sure it is. The real-time traffic center.
Yes, real-time.
Somebody says, we have failed future generations by allowing this to gain the foothold that it has. Yes, absolutely. Because the tendency is, it's kind of like, you know, immigrants come here, they don't know the language, they don't have anything going for them except opportunity. And they take advantage of it, and they build a successful business, and they become rich, and then their kids become screw-ups. Or maybe the third generation. You know, the second generation still feels it enough, but the third generation is just, you know, they're watching MTV and not anymore. But, you know, they're just, that's their place. It's kind of like that. You have to keep fighting for it all the time. The thing does not persist on its own. Cultures are not inherently stable. Somebody has to do something to make them stable. And the ones that are based around freedom and individuality and a free market have not been stable for a long time. You know, authoritarianism lasts. Why? Because you destroy the possibility of having individuality and freedom and rebellion within it. You know, Rome lasts. Russia, the Soviet Union, lasts. Why? China, why? Freedom, democracy, republics are fragile. And they absolutely depend on a bunch of things like teaching the principles of having a democracy, teaching people to be self-reliant, teaching people not to intrude upon each other's rights, and making citizens that are smart enough, decent enough, religious enough to be able to handle the level of freedom that our system takes for granted among its population that is not always true of our population. You know, it doesn't work. Massive freedom doesn't work with mediocre or bad people. It only works with good people. And I'm not saying America is not good. I'm saying we're not as good as we should be. We're not as smart as we should be. We're not as individually capable as we should be to keep this thing going long term. Anyway, we'll get back to his comments because it's the notion. By the way, I agree with him in principle. The idea of expecting mediocrity from government because, you know, that's just kind of how it's always been. You know, why shouldn't government be good? Well, part of the reason is because in order to get good, you have to pay well. And if you pay better than private sector, well, that's a problem. because you're compelling people to pay for a better service from a thing they don't really want in the first place, except that in this case, they do want that in the first place. You should want the private sector to pay better than government. How many times have you talked about, you know, get a good government job, get good security? Well, that's bad. Government jobs should be, they shouldn't pay as well. They should be vulnerable because the private sector is like that. Why should we invest so much in government pay and benefits and security that people just go there and they feel like they've found the golden ticket, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow or whatever? I mean, that's not the way it should be. Anyway, back to the speech.
In a city where the mere names of our streets are associated with the innovation of the industries that call them home, we will make the word City Hall synonymous with both resolve and results.
And class warfare, vital.
As we embark upon this work, let us advance a new question, a new answer to the question asked of every generation. Who does New York belong to? For much of our history, the response from City Hall has been simple. It belongs only to the wealthy and well-connected, those who never strain to capture the attention of those in power. Working people have reckoned with the consequences.
It's the wealthy. It's the people who are fleeing New York, right? But that's the point. They're scared about what's going to happen. But he's saying, no, just tax the rich. Everything's going to be fine. No big deal. But come along with me. Hate the rich. Take what they've got. A city that was built by the wealthy, the enterprising, the industrial, that is the center of commerce for the entire nation and largely for the world. And he thinks the problem is we need to restrain them more, which for the people who don't have anything or the people who feel like they're suffering, that's a very appealing message.
Took office with the goal of building a city that was far greater and more beautiful for the hungry and the poor. Some of these mayors achieved more success than others.
Talking about people in the
past. But they were unified by a shared belief that New York could belong to more than just a privileged few. It could belong to those who operate our subways and rake our parks. Those who feed us biryani and beef patties. Picanha and pastrami on rye. And they know that this belief could be made true if only government dared to work hardest for those who work hardest.
That's a great line. If only government dared to work hardest for those who work hardest. Obviously, he's talking about the common person and saying government can work for you. It can be bigger. It can be more expensive. We can literally take from the rich in order to better take from the rich, and we can provide things better for you. That's my promise. It's the same message you've heard in every communist revolution. And the outcome of every communist revolution has been exactly the same. It's been tyranny, oppression, poverty, lack of results, long food lines, inadequate everything. Because as bad as the free market is, and the free market's a mess, but the free market always produces better prosperity. It will produce a rich-poor gap, but it'll produce a rich-poor gap in which everybody's better off than the same small share of equity of little that people have under a communist or what he wants in a socialist regime. But the message is selling. I mean, he got elected. And again, think Bernie Sanders. Think your average 20-year-old, your average 25-year-old even. What do they want? What do they hear? What do they get frustrated about? What do they think needs to be done? Government is the solution. That can solve it for us. It can bring all the people together.
We will provide our own answer to that age-old question. Who does New York belong to? Well, my friends, we can look to Madiba and the South African Freedom Charter. New York belongs to all who live in it. Together, we will tell a new story of our city. This will not be a tale of one city governed only by the 1%, nor will it be a tale of two cities, the rich versus the poor. It will be a tale of 8.5 million cities, each of them a New Yorker with hopes and fears, each a universe, each of them woven together.
Just as long as you don't want to own your own home, which one of his key advisors has said is white supremacy culture. Home ownership is white supremacy culture. That's the subtext. That's what they've learned at Columbia. That's what they've learned at SUNY. That's what they've, you know, like, this is really, really dangerous stuff. And I want you to hear it because the only thing that ever got made out of news out of this speech was the, you know, the frigidity of individualism versus the warmth of collectivism line. Okay, but your little memes on Facebook poking fun at that are nothing to the people who are cheering and all across the country are cheering for this. Take it seriously. This is a real threat to what America is and has been and will be. We'll talk about this more maybe in a minute. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Wow. That's just deep, man.
But there's a lot. I mean, this
there's
is
a lot.
You pay attention.
Yeah.
This wow. won't just because you know it's stupid doesn't mean everybody realizes it's crazy. They don't. Anyway, go ahead, John.
Yeah, no accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110, everything is looking good so far this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Speaking of something that they want to make not happen, home ownership. Christine Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are great at helping you sell homes, buy homes, you know, do what you want with your home. And, you know, one of the things about her is, you know, I knew she'd be successful at whatever she wanted to do, but a lot of people try to do real estate. You know, all of her friends, when she was trying to do real estate, we thought, well, you know, I mean, maybe. A lot of smart people try real estate and it doesn't work. Well, you know, then she's selling 200 homes a year. And then the market declined. Okay, it was harder, 175 than 165. And then last year, back up to 209. 30% up in a down year where people are struggling to sell homes. She and her team at Leavenworth Realty managed to sell for week after week. They're closing deals, including deals that other realtors couldn't get done. That's one of the things she says a lot is people are coming to her after other realtors have failed them, which is sad. But that's the reality. Experience, understanding the market, and just doing all the basics makes a difference. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. PenAir Credit Union's high-yield checking? 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts. And 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA. PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekdays 2 till 4, right after Markley Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Thank you, Hedy, thank you.
It's not Hedy, it's Hedley, Hedley Lamarr.
Well, I'm standing in the city that never sleeps.
I did there. I came back with a little Bob Dylan. No protest music for you. Why not? 657 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. By the way, if you want to catch the second half of my analysis for that speech, where that was more of the famous lines came out of, that'll be at 8:10. We'll have that for you this morning, or you can catch it later on the podcast. You can always catch every hour of the show, including the interviews, at newsradio923.com or via the News Radio Pensacola app, which is very easy to download and use on your phone or wherever. 658 News Radio 92.3, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. President Trump is in Michigan today to talk about his economic policies. White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt says he'll be kicking off his visit with a stop at the Ford factory that's now producing more F-150 trucks due to the tariffs.
By the way, it's not news, but she's pregnant again. So she met her, she's 28, her husband's 60, you know, and they met and then they had a kid and then they got married basically around the inaugural time last year. She's pregnant again. So
you
congratulations,
say her
Caroline
60?
Leavitt.
Yeah. How's he going to do that?
I mean, you know, good enough for Al Pacino.
I can't chase my baby around. I mean, I'm 40 and it's killing me.
I'm 54. Saying. I'm not trying to have more. You know, I get it.
He's in for a ride. That's all I can say. A former Mexican cartel kingpin will be sentenced to life in prison today in New York City. Ismael El Mayo Zambada Garcia, who led the Sinaloa cartel with El Chapo, pleaded guilty last year and apologized for flooding the U.S. with cocaine and other illicit substances. And Andrew, a new study finds that Arizona has the toughest DUI penalties in the nation. The study was done by Moronic Law Firm, and it said
the what?
Moronic. That's what it says. Moronic.
Okay.
Not moronic, moronic.
Yeah, that never gets misunderstood at all.
Never. It said the state's steep fines for first-time offenders and mandatory jail time make it the most severe penalties in the nation.
It's moronic.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
What will President Trump do next with Iran? I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. More Iran.